how it came to me, this idea, was one of those synchronistic sort of serendipity kinds of things that I have come to know are not accidental any longer. You know, that when you reach a level of consciousness that is beyond just surviving and just living your life each day, you begin to realize that these things that show up in your life show up for a reason. And later on, I'll be explaining about how this particular person in India read one of my books. You'll see it when you believe it. Picked up the telephone, called my office, sent me a tape, and asked me if I would listen to this tape and practice this meditation that is an ancient meditation that goes way back. If I would do this each day for 15 days without any doubt, just do it. Well, I'll do anything for 15 days. I'll give it a shot. I'm always willing to give it a shot. I've always believed sort of this, I've had this philosophy that goes way back, which is that no one knows enough to be a pessimist, you know, and that the universe is too big and too expansive and there's too much out there that we can't even begin to grasp as these tiny little subatomic particles in this huge universe, so that I'm willing. I've always had this sort of open mind. I'll try it. Of course I'll try it. And I tried it, and these phenomenal things began to start happening in my life. Things started showing up that I would put my attention on. And I would do this daily meditation using these sounds of creation. And in the process of doing this, I thought it would show up in a certain way. Like if I put my attention on what it is that I want to manifest, and then I just start looking around for it to manifest like this, and I'm looking over here to the right. And I'm looking and saying, well, where is it? How come it's not here? And it's behind me on the left in a totally different form. Because one of the things that you'll hear is that you have to have patience. That you let the universe or God or whatever you want to call this divine organizing intelligence, you let that handle the details. But you just put your attention on having it show up in your life with a powerful knowing that it will. And then you let go. And you tune into this divine intelligence, which is actually a part of you. Because if it's everywhere, that means there's no place that it's not, including you. But more on that later. And so, as I started doing this, I remember one great story. I practiced this meditation, and this meditation involves a sound, repeating this sound, the sound of God, as Muktananda talked about, endlessly repeat his name over and over again, with inwardly and outwardly, the sound, which is talked about in the later part of the program. And I had been doing it for 15 days. And I was up in my daughter's room, Skye, who is 15 years old. And she said, Dad, one of the light bulbs in the light fixture, which also is a part of a fan above her bed, and it has four lights in it. She said, one of the light bulbs is out. Would you come up and change it? Now, my kids are usually very nervous about this sort of thing because I have already established myself as someone who can't do these kind of things. Right? And if I do, horrible things are going to happen. Not because I don't have the talent, but because I have figured out if everybody believes I can't do this, they won't bug me about it. Right? And so I love it when my kids laugh at me trying to fix something and then my wife calls a repairman. And I, you know, everybody has these Native American names. You remember the Native American movie, Kevin Costner's movie? Yeah, Dances with Wolves. Everybody is named for what it is that they do in life. My name, my Indian name, my Native American name is He Writes the Checks. Okay? And so I like that, by the way. That's the name I want to have, all right? I mean, I don't want to be cleaning up the garages and fixing tables and, trying to get when the tire is flat. I get a new tire. That's fine. That's sort of the way I've done that, all right? And I'm not saying that anyone else ought to do that, and I certainly know that I would be able to, if I wanted to, be Mr. Fix-It, but it's not the choice that I'm making at this time in my life. So I've really been very adamant about getting a reputation for being totally incompetent in these areas. I like that reputation. And so she very gingerly asked me if I would change this light bulb because she couldn't reach it. And I said, sure, I can do that. Now, my wife never lets me do that because she knows if I, you know, I remember one time she said, pull the, on the draperies in the bedroom. One of the hooks was not on, you know, and it just sort of come down. And she said, can you just get up there and put that hook on? And she said, we'll close the drape. I said, we can close the drapes. And I grabbed the drape and I pulled it, and the whole thing came crashing down to the ground, which was great. It's just one of those things where I don't have to fix draperies now ever again in my life. So, anyway. So I went up to her room and I said, this is something I can definitely do. I definitely can change a light bulb, all right? So I got up there and I started turning the light bulb. And I turned it, and I turned it, and I turned it, and nothing was happening. It was just seemed to be getting tighter and tighter and tighter and tighter, you know? And I just kept turning it and losing a little more force, and I would turn it a little harder and a little harder. Eventually, I turned it and the whole thing snapped. And there I was holding a piece of light bulb with sort of shattered glass, and the metal part was still up there in the socket. And there I am standing there, and Sky said, I should have known not to ask you to... I said, couldn't help it, I said, but I know how to fix this. I said, honey, go downstairs and get a pair of needle-nose pliers, and we'll get that socket, we'll reach up in there, and we'll get it out of the socket. We'll get a hold of that little piece of metal, and we'll turn it, and then we can replace the light bulb. It's not a problem. So she went downstairs and she came back up. She said, we don't have any needle-nose pliers. I said, here we go, the cookie thief. I said, we have needle-nose pliers. Don't tell me we don't have them. I know what they are and where they are. And I went down, and of course, I couldn't find them. So I let it go, and I just said, we'll get a new fan. He writes the checks, right? So the next morning, I went out and I went running. Now, I'd been doing this meditation for 15 days, this meditation that's on this program. And as I finished my morning meditation, I then went for a run. And I ran about 12 or 13 miles, which I do almost every single day. It's just something that I love to do early in the morning. And while I was running, I was thinking about those needle-nose pliers. And where would they be? And I would really like to fix that thing, and I don't like having that up there. There might be an electrical problem and so on, and there could be a short in there or something, and I'd like to fix that. And as I came into, and it was even in my meditation, those needle-nose pliers kept coming into my meditation. Now, this sounds so strange, so weird. I pulled into the driveway after my run and after my meditation, and there on the driveway was a brand new pair of needle-nose pliers with yellow handles. Brand new! Which we had never had before. They were just on the driveway. So I picked them up, and I looked at them, and I went, you know, it's like when these things happen, you go, whoa, booga. Booga, 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 you know, like, what's going on here? Guruji, this teacher, this brilliant, enlightened, what I call non-dual being, I'll explain that later, had told me that if I practice this meditation, what will begin to start showing up in your life is that whatever you put your attention on will begin to show up. He said, it will happen. This is like the secret of manifesting. Even though you don't understand it and your rational left brain says, no, 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 no. You don't just think about something and have it happen. He is saying this is exactly what will begin to happen. So I took those needle-nose pliers and I took them in and I showed them to my wife. I said, can you believe this? And I called Sky down. I said, we do have needle-nose pliers. She said, we didn't have those before. I said, I know. I manifested them. You know, I was like acting like really superior, right? So I went upstairs. I turned the electricity off, just in case you were thinking I wouldn't do that. and got up there, twisted it off, got the light bulb play, and I fixed something, right? And we still have those needle-nose pliers. And I look at them. In fact, I set them right on my desk just to remind me that there's more to this than the word coincidence, at least in my estimation. All right? And so I was telling our friends, Bonnie and Jeff, that we were having dinner one night at this restaurant in Boca that had just opened. It's called the Cheesecake Factory. It's one of those places that serves you just monumental amounts of food, which seems to be what we're doing in America these days. You know, like they bring your salad out in a wheelbarrow, you know. And free refills on, you know, 64-ounce drinks and, you know, things like this. So it's a wonderful place. But they had, like, these spotlights out front, and it was the grand opening, and my wife and I had been invited there to be, you know, at their opening and so on. We were there, and we took Bonnie and Jeff with us. And I was telling them about this meditation that is the subject matter of this program. And Bonnie got really excited. She just went, oh, you got to teach us how to do that. You got to show me how to. She's one of these people that whatever you're talking about, she's willing to try it. You know, if you're talking about reading auras, read my aura. I want to know about my aura, whatever it is. So she got all excited. And Jeff is the father of one of our children, Serena's best friend is their daughter, Courtney. And so we see them a lot because her daughter's over at our house a lot. And Jeff is a builder and been going through some fairly tough times in the building industry down in South Florida. This was a couple of years ago. And so as I was telling that, I said, well, I can't teach it to you now because it involves sound. I mean, you have to make noise. And, you know, there's thousands of people or hundreds of people anyway, and there's reporters, and they all know who I am. And I said, I can't be doing this here in the restaurant. And Bonnie said, why not? What do you mean? You talk on your programs about not worrying about what other people think. Why are you worried about what they think here? You know, I'll tell you, when you're a guru, it's really tough, right? You know? You got to watch yourself at every moment. So I said, well, you know, it's just like, it's going to look a little weird. She said, so what if it looks weird? I want to learn it. She said, we're going away. We're going away tomorrow. And Courtney was staying with us, so I knew they were going away. She said, we're going to Las Vegas. We're in a slot machine tournament. And I want to learn this before we go. I said, a what? She said, a slot machine tournament. I said, I've never heard of a slot machine tournament. She said, yeah, people from all over the country just sign up. They come to Las Vegas. There's 700 of them or so. They assign you to a machine, and then everybody plays the machine for Friday night, all day Saturday, and until Sunday afternoon. And then at the end of the, they tabulate, and they have the winners, and they give them, you know, it's all kept track of electronically and so on. She said, I want to learn how to manifest before I go there. I said, I don't know. I don't know if you can use it this way. I don't, something about spirituality in Las Vegas, it just, it didn't seem to have the right mix, you know. But I said, why not? You know, I mean, it's like abundance is abundance. I mean, why should we have any judgments about, you know, it being something right or wrong or whatever? So we started doing the meditation. I started explaining the whole meditation that I had been taught by Guruji, this great teacher. And we did it right there in the restaurant. We all, the four of us, and we started making these sounds, and everybody started looking at us, and what's going on over here in the corner? What's happened to Dyer? He's flipped out. but we did it, and I taught it to them. Well, they went away. Courtney stayed at our house. They went away on Friday. Jeff checks into the hotel in Las Vegas. He gets assigned to a machine, and he's in the lobby of the casino. And his wife is assigned to the machine next to him. Now, this is all done by computer. It's never happened to him before. They do this all the time. So it's like right away he's thinking, this is really strange. I got the machine. She's right next to me, and there were 700 people. How did this happen? So he wraps his legs around this machine and proceeds to pull the levers and do this meditation at the same time for 3 days. He's going, and everybody would look, you know, in the casino, you got to get a picture of this, you know. This is like a guru sitting at a slot machine doing the sound meditation with an absolute total conviction that he could make something happen here. And they come back on Sunday afternoon, they get back Sunday evening, and they come over to pick up Courtney, and Bonnie comes running in, you know. She's so excited. She said, we won, I can't remember the exact amount, but it was something like $27,000. She said, and she said, do you think it has anything to do with this meditation? I mean, she said, we've never won anything doing this before. And Jeff comes in behind her, and he has just bought himself a brand new camera, you know, with one of these, and he's filming the whole thing, one of these portable video cameras. And he puts his hand on his hip and he says, just call me Jeff the Manifester, all right? Like Conan the Barbarian, you know, he's Jeff the Manifester. He began practicing that meditation. And he put in a bid on building something like 200 homes that he received. He had never ever, this is a small building company. His income has like quadrupled. His building, a number of employees have like tripled. He's just all kinds of these fabulous things of that he has been putting his attention on have begun to happen. I mean, what I'm saying here is I don't know that if you put your attention on just going to Las Vegas and having money come into you, that this is like something for, you know, everybody thinks, well, I'll just get greedy and I'll just have a whole lot of money. But there's something about abundance and having it show up in your life and your ability to put your attention on what it is that you would like to manifest. Yesterday, or a couple of days ago, in Lilydale, New York, where I had taught this manifesting technique a year ago, there were five or six people there who had been there the previous year. And each one of them came up on stage and talked about what they had done. One woman had manifested for herself a metaphysical bookstore, which she had always wanted to have. And she did it without having any money. She had no down payment, no nothing. She was now the owner of and running a profitable business in, I think, Silver Spring or something like that, Maryland. Another woman talked about her cancer being in remission after practicing this meditation on a daily basis and putting her attention on healing and so on. Another, a man came up who had lost 65 pounds in 1 year. But before, she had done this many times before, but she had never done it where she hadn't been able to keep it off for any length of time. And she said, I put my manifesting attention on keeping it off and not going back to my old addictive ways. And she said, now for 1 year, I have been at this weight. These kinds of stories, I had another person tell me that they had been told, this couple, young couple, had been told that they couldn't have a child. That their wife, her name was Denise, had premature ovarian failure. And her uterus could not support a child, and she had been given, they'd been told this, but yet they began to practice this meditation. In fact, practicing it to such an extent that they, which is one of the things that I was taught, is that you have to act as if what you want is already here, because it really is. Because we're really not creating anything. We're just realigning ourselves. When you manifest, you're manifesting just another aspect of yourself, which I'll explain a little bit later. So that it isn't like you don't take on this role of creator, you take on this role of attracting to you that which already exists. And she wanted this child, and they even bought little stuffed animals and got a room and so on. Their belief was so, their knowing was so strong that they weren't going to be operating from any doubt whatsoever, just eliminating all of the doubt. And they sent me a picture of their 3-month-old child with him holding the baby. Got a picture of it here. These kinds of things. Another woman told me that she was living in Colorado and she had her house up for sale and she hadn't had someone look at it for 2 years. Not even look at it. And she started doing this meditation and within the next week she had 4 people look at it and she had an offer and then she sold her home by putting her attention on this. Now, so many of these stories, I have another one here, a letter from an attorney. And I got a letter from an attorney. Every time I get a letter from an attorney, I go, oh boy, here we go. And this man said, you spoke to us on Sunday afternoon. On Sunday evening, I did both the morning and evening meditations again. Then on Monday morning, I did the prescribed routine. When I got to the office at 8:30, the phone started ringing. And he said earlier in the letter, he said, I've had very, very few calls into the office from prospective clients in the last 3 months and have not signed up any good cases at all in that time period. But they said we'd been through a terrible drought and so on. He said, even before my receptionist began answering the phone at 9 a.m., I had spoken with and scheduled an appointment for a new client. This week I have interviewed 3 new clients and accepted what I consider to be 2 good new cases. That's better than I've done in the past several years. And other people talk about quadrupling their income and all of these kinds of things. So it's it isn't just something that I am speaking about from wishful thinking, if you will, or just hoping and then having some lucky break sort of come along. What I'd like you to do now, listening to this program, each of you here, I'd like you to really think, if you knew, which means an absence of doubt, if you just like you know how to ride a bicycle or you know how to swim and you know it, like if you know how to swim and someone throws you into a swimming pool, you are not going to drown. You know you can swim, and your nature just takes over, and you just swim out of it. If someone hands you a bicycle here, and you've been on it before, even though it's just 2 little wheels moving through space, if you knew that you could ride it, because you've had that direct experience of it, you wouldn't have any doubt. You would get on it. If you'd never been on one before, then you would have some doubt. So if you had a knowing based upon a direct experience that you had this capacity or this power or this ability, this talent, this unique quality of being able to manifest something for yourself in your life that you have perceived to be missing in your life, whether it's any of the things that I've just talked about in terms of abundance, overcoming scarcity, healing, whether it's a promotion, whether it's selling your home, whether it's having a child, whether it's creating a divine relationship, whether it's getting out of the one you're in, whether it's attracting to you what it is that you would like to be able to attract, just by virtue of being able to use your inner world and have it then begin to show up. If you knew you had this, even the least among you can do all that I have done and even greater things. If you knew that, what would it be? And just sort of jot it down in your consciousness. What would that be? And even if it was a healing for somebody else, or even if it's a very, quote, unselfish, being able to create world peace, or being able to affect a healing of someone close to you, or whatever. If you knew you had it, what would it be? And just put your attention on it. And later on, as we begin to practice this technique, I'd like you to begin to see and practice it for 15 days. In the morning and in the evening, as I prescribe later on in this program. And then just begin to look for the cues. Not demanding that it show up in the way that you think it should show up, because very likely it won't. It'll show up in a completely different way. It is taking your own divine self and beginning to have a knowing that is so powerful that you begin to practice certain principles that put you in touch with or align you with that spirit that creates and causes everything in the physical domain. And it's a very exciting kind of thing, particularly for me, because it gives me a real strong internal sense that we can literally manifest or create our own destiny. And that destiny isn't something that's handed to us. We're handed a free will. And we're also given a divine connection to God. And we have to stop our belief that somehow God and us are separate, that God is something that's out there and not in here. We've got to shift that. And that will be the subject of the very first principle. Thank you.
This is the end of side two. Please fast forward the tape to the end to cue up side one for your next listening.